I'm trying to gather some sticks here so me and the boy can eat and die. That's all we got. That's all we got. He called and said, please bring me a mall of bread. Not only do I want a cup of water, but I want a mall of bread in your hand. Very, very, very descriptive. In your hand. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread. Only a handful of flour in the bin. And a little oil in the jar. See, I'm gathering a couple of sticks. That I'm going to go in and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. Lord, how much? Lord said, Elijah said, don't fear. Go and do as you have said. But make a little bread, a little cake from it first and bring it to me. And afterward, make some for yourself and your son. You know, if you bless the man of God, God will bless you. He says, bring me mine first. And you ought to give God his first. That's why some people's pockets got holes in them. Because you won't give God his first. So God got holes in your pocket, and you wind up going again to the tithe man, going again to the stone man or whatever it might be, and he go pay his tithe with the money you should have paid your tithes with. He's focused. He's done what God said do. He's prayerful. He's listening to God's direction. Yeah, we see here her bow. Her brooks is finna dry up. But look, her brook look like it's gonna dry up. I got just enough flour to make a cake for me and my son. We gonna eat and die. Cause that's it. So I tell you what, bring me my first. It's right there. Right, and don't fear. Cause God is in control. He's in control. Bring me mine first. And if you keep reading, you'll find that she did what the man of God said do. She obeyed the word of God coming from the man of God, and she was blessed. See, your brook can dry up with you doing right. You can obey God and your brook still dry up. But the thing about
this is Pastor Dunkley. I hope our message has been a blessing to your heart. I'd like to give you the calendar of events on the Mount Olive Baptist Church. Sunday school, 9:30 a.m. Worship service, 11 o'clock. Lord's Supper observed every second Sunday at 11 o'clock. Midweek service on Wednesday night at 6 p.m. If you would like a copy of the tape you have just heard, you can reach us at 1410 Cathy Street, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71303. Or phone me at area code 318-448-3448. It's going to be all right. You be blessed in the Lord. Amen. This is Pastor Dunkley. I hope our message has been a blessing to your heart. I'd like to give you the calendar of events on the Mount Olive Baptist Church. Sunday school, 9:30 a.m. Worship service, 11 o'clock. Lord's Supper observed every second Sunday at 11 o'clock. Midweek service on Wednesday night at 6 p.m. If you would like a copy of the tape you have just heard, you can reach us at 1410 Cathy Street, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71303. Or phone me at area code 318-448-3448. It's going to be all right. You be blessed in the Lord. Amen.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to the book of Job, chapter 42. I just want to lift out verse 10 in your hearing. Job, chapter 42, verse 10. And it says, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave to Job twice as much as he had before. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, just live right. Just live right. I came up in a time where I was fortunate enough to have grandmother in my life and to have older people who had a higher standard of living and a godly way of life. And that was one of the phrases that my dear big mama, whatever you called her, used to say, if you just live right. God has a way of doing things for you that's beyond your comprehension when you learn how to live according to the word, the will, and the way of God. And the book of Job is really a story about living right. Of all these things that it speaks of in these 42 chapters, the greatest message would probably be, when it's all said and done, from the human perspective, is just live right. The Bible says God bragged on Job, asked Satan, had he seen, did he meet the acquaintance of his servant Job, that there was none like him in all the earth, and that he loved God and escheweth evil. And then the devil tried to turn it around and said, well, does he serve you for nothing? You know, it's like, if God is that good, there's a reason why Job is serving you, not because he is good, but because you are good to him. And see, that's the problem with a whole lot of our mentalities. We enjoy God as long as God is good to us. But when you live right, you live right in spite of when times are good and times are bad or times are indifferent, because you know the right way to live. You know what is God's perspective. You know what God's principles are. You know what God's desire is. And so you align your life with that more than how you feel and what you can get or receive, because you recognize those things are fleeting. They're passing. But the way of the Lord is the only true way. And so this story of Job is so important for us to comprehend from a deeper inner perspective. Just live right. There are so many things that happen in our lives, and we make choices every day. And our choices are not good choices all the time, because we sometimes use the world's method of judgment to go by and to get by when God has given us a higher standard in his word by which we are to operate in. And Job shows us this. I mean, he was so in love with God. He was so committed to doing things God's way. He made sacrifices not only for himself, but he did it for his children, just in the event they may have said something or done something that displeased God. Job was a man that knew how to live right. Now, my brothers and sisters, when we get all the way back to this 42nd chapter, there's a whole lot that has interplayed between these chapters 1 and 42. And time would definitely not even permit for me to give you just a taste of all of the things that he went through. But hear me when I tell you, Job went through some stuff. Job is known for his patience. He's known as the most patient man in the Word of God. And some of us say, well, I wish I had the patience of Job. No, you don't. Because Job got his patience through tribulations. And a whole lot of don't want the tribulation Job had in order to get the patience. But there's another thing I want you to understand. What the name of Job means in Hebrew. You see, Job's name in the Hebrew means hated and persecuted. Did you hear me? Job's name meant hated and persecuted. He was hated by Satan because he was so good. But then he was persecuted by those who were supposed to be his friends, his associates, his friends, those who were the closest to him. They persecuted him because he was just too right for anybody's business. You know some people who try to pretend like they're holier than thou, and they get on your nerves. Well, Job wasn't pretending. Job was holier than thou. He didn't play the games they played. His heart was sincere and true and pure, and he meant what he meant. And so when things started happening to Job, his friends were the first one to start persecuting him. Eliphaz, he was the ringleader. Bildad, he was the next one in line. And then Zophar, he was the last one. Kind of like whatever they say, he go along with it. And they were his friends. And listen at this. The longer Job went through his struggles and his troubles and his trials, they persecuted him and said, Job, if you were as honest and as real as you pretend to be, all of these things wouldn't be happening to you. Now listen to his friends talking about it now. Job, there's obviously some skeletons in your closet. Even though you've done a good job hiding them from us, the good Lord knows what you got in your closet. And one of the things that we know about God is God would not allow just people, good people, to suffer the issues that they're going through, that you're going through, Job, if you were as holy as you claim to be. Well, you see, this is the mentality of the world. They don't understand about suffering for righteousness because you are coming against the enemy of this world. Your desire, your thoughts, all are different from his, and therefore you think differently from him. And so the better you are, the worse you are to the enemy. And so his friends kept trying to pick and pick and pick. And And Job would say, no, I've tried to find anything I could in my past. I've looked, I've searched, I've prayed, I've done all I could do to find out what I did to make these things come upon me. But what Job did not know was that God had had a conversation with the enemy, and that he believed in Job so much, he put Job up to this test. And Job did not know it was only a test. Listen at this now. But he goes through this thing not knowing it. And in the first few verses of the 42nd chapter, there's a conversation going on between him and the Lord. And he makes it clear that you've hidden some stuff from me that I should have known. And because you hid wise counsel from me, there were some things that were too wonderful for me to understand. Some things that were so deep spiritually, I couldn't put my finger on. I did the best I could, yet he never cursed God. He never did anything wrong toward God. And so it proved that his heart was right toward God. Now listen at this now, because I want to get to the point of this 10th verse. Because now, one of the things that I need you to see is God shows you the people around you. Sooner or later, he's going to reveal what they really think about you. Something is wrong if you've got folk around you and they're supposed to be watching your back and you've got to watch them watching your back. Something is wrong when the people that Job considered to be the most best friends that he had, who knew everything that was about Job that they thought they knew until he began to experience sickness and troubles and trials, and they started whispering, well, something must be wrong. You know what's done in the dark comes to the... You know all the little sayings that they use and so forth. I couldn't put my finger on it, but I always knew something just wasn't. And so here's the thing. They started lying on God. Eliphaz, the ringleader, started telling Job and the others, well, I've consulted with the Lord and there are some things that he's revealed. The Lord told me to tell you. Oh, my goodness. Now, here's my problem with that. If I got a relationship with the Lord and I talked with him already this morning, why would he skip over telling me something to tell you to tell me? And so that's something wrong with the way you're doing this and you're doing that. Well, why didn't the Lord tell me that? I've been asking him for that. And so they would lie on the Lord. It's right there in that 42nd chapter. And so look at what God says. Just see this right quick, and I'm closing. It's a short message. If you just live right, don't you forget ever that the Lord sits up high, but he's looking down low. There is nothing he does not see, nothing he does not hear, and nothing he does not know. And what makes it worse is when you lie using the name of the Lord. Listen at this now. Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar were all lying on the Lord. Can you imagine how Job felt going through the darkest days of his life, looking for encouragement, looking for a friend that'll pray with him, intercede for him, stand in the gap, someone that would encourage him while he's going through these dark days, and yet instead of encouraging him, they are discouraging him. They took him down to the lowest level, to the point that he wished he had never been born. And so the Lord had enough of those so-called friends. And so he tells them in that 42nd chapter, in the first 7 verses, between Job and God, and then between Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, that they had lied on him, using God's name, and lied on the Lord to bring Job down. And the Lord was so disappointed with that. Look at what the Lord told them to do. Get 7 bullocks and 7 rams and offer them as burnt offering. And listen to what he said. I'm going to get my servant Job to pray for you. Now, the very man that was no good, low down, that they talked about, had all this darkness in his life, wasn't going the right way, God says, I'm going to get my man to pray for you. All Job had to do was live right. His greatest defense was to live right. And so here they come, because this was an inspired instruction. An inspired instruction is a divine authoritative command that God expects one to do, whether you understand it or not. And so they understood, however, that they had lied on God, because they know God didn't tell them nothing. But now here's the bad thing about it. Some folk are so messed up that they sincerely think the Lord said it. They're wrong, and sincerely wrong, because they have gotten themselves in a place where the enemy's voice sounds like the Lord's voice. And so he tells them, you go and make this burnt offering, sacrifice. Now, it's twofold, because in the end, God recognizes that they really weren't evil people. They made some mistakes and they got caught up in flesh, carnality, and in judgment. That's one of the reasons why the Bible tells us, judge not that we be not judged. And so when they made this judgment stance, now they took Job off trial and put themselves on trial. This time, God is doing the judging. And so now their job is to go and to present this burnt offering. But Job's job is to pray for him. Now you might say, that's no big deal. That's no biggie, no problem. But can you imagine what it takes for somebody to pray for somebody that has talked about you and lied on you and pulled you down and said every damnable thing they could say about you everything that they could possibly make evil about you. They said it, and now you got to pray for them. Look, don't think that's no easy thing. Get in a position like that because it's called forgiveness. See, Job had to make sure, God had to make sure Job's heart was still tender, was still right, and that he would pray for, forgive his friends for what they did. And I love the way the Lord does that. He puts that responsibility on Job. Could have prayed for him, or he could not have prayed for him. But nothing was going to change one way or the other until something happened. And so he prayed for his friends. And then the last part of that verse 10 says, also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. What does that say? First of all, that what he had before, God gave it to him. I like that part. That's shouting news. I don't think many of you got that. What he had in the beginning that the enemy thought he was taking away for good came from God. And I keep trying to tell the people of God what God did once, he can do it again. Whatever he has done in your life, it's just an example. It's just the tip of the iceberg of what he can do for you. So don't get caught up on what he has done as in the past, like it can't happen again. That's just a taste. No wonder the psalmist says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And so he blesses Job with twice as much. Twice as much as he had before. What I love about it is just go back to the first chapter and the first few verses, and it'll tell you all that he had. And then when you come back here and come out of this 10th verse and going on into the rest of these last few, it'll tell you what he doubled it to. And then it tells you that he gave him, after all of that that he had been through, he then gave him 140 more years to enjoy all his stuff. See, it don't matter how long you live if you can't live well. You know, a lot of folks want to live long and all that. All that's fine if you're living right. But if you're not living right, you don't want to live long. I can promise you that, my brothers and sisters, because it'll be a life of hell here. And then when you die, it'll be a life of hell that is eternal. And if you ask me, that's just too much hell. Just live right. I don't care what folks say about you, what they try to do to you. You got to remember the judge is watching everything. He's got it recorded. He knows it. And there's coming a reckoning day. Somebody say reckoning day. And a reckoning day means when all of those lies they've told will have to come and face the truth. And those that lied against you will lie no more, because they will be faced with the truth that God himself knows, and God will do the honors of making all things right with you and for you. And no matter how tough it is right now, I want you to do me one favor as we close this message. Touch your neighbor and say, just live right. I know some of them right now, they quench when you touch them.
Touch that other devil and tell him, just